spoke to my heart to prepare this message. And it's a really simple message. Chapter 18 of 1 Kings, and beginning in verse number, verse 41. Yeah, verse 41 of 1 Kings 18. Again, please remain seated. I'll just read through them quickly through the end of the chapter. And Elijah said unto Ahab, "Get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain." So Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he cast himself down to the earth and put his face between his knees, and said to his servant, "Go up now, look toward the sea." And he went up and looked and said, "There is nothing." And he said, "Go again seven times." And it came to pass at the seventh time that he said, "Behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea, like a man's hand." And he said, "Go up, say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not." And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was, what's the next three words, church? A great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel, and the hand of the Lord was on Elijah. And he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. Father, bless this brief time in the Word of God tonight. Thank you for what you did this week. Thank you for these precious people that prayed and gave of themselves to send someone. Lord, may it not stop tonight. May the work that was done last through all eternity. May it last through all the physical lives of these up here on the platform for all of their life. May they never be the same. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The reign of revival is what I want to talk to you about tonight. The reign of revival. I'm telling you, it rained and rained and rained and rained and rained there. And you saw that when Brother Charlie was preaching at that point, it had rained for 2.5 straight hours. Just like that. Heavy, pouring down rain. And many of you know your Bibles. You know that there are certain symbols that God uses. I believe fire is a symbol of God's power, and we see it in this chapter, chapter 18. I believe wind is a symbol of God's presence. Amen. You remember in Acts chapter 2, when they prayed and the Holy Ghost came upon them and that great wind came through. Amen. But really, rain is the idea of the symbol of God's provision or God's blessing. And here, in this text in Israel, it had not rained for 3.5 years because of sin. Because of sin. I'll tell you what, ladies and gentlemen, we're living in America now, and I know right now in California there's a serious drought. I'm here to tell you there's a bigger spiritual drought right here in our land. Amen. A land that's walking away from God. But it had not rained, and it was because of sin. If you look at chapter 18 and verse number 17, you remember here, we'll talk about it in just a little bit, but where Elijah came to Ahab, and Ahab said in verse number 17, "And it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah that Ahab said unto him, Art thou he that troubleth Israel?" You know what he said to that man of God? "You're the problem. You're the problem around here. You're the reason it's not raining. You're the reason why there is no blessing." Sounds familiar. So this could be a headline in the USA Today. Verse 18, love it. "And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam." Remember what happened here. There's the confrontation in chapter 17. There was the great challenge. The contest in chapter 18. And you remember what happened. Then we saw the cloud. I want to just ask you a question, teenagers, and a question to this church. Remember what happened after the fire of the Lord fell, then the rain fell. Amen? Here's the question. Do you want the rain? Do you want the rain? I mean, young people, do you want the rain? Do you want the rain in your life? Do you want to get past, as Brother Charlie said at the end, do you want to get past your devotions just being a simple part of your day? You want to get back to the days like when you first got saved and you read a verse and you just wept that God loved you so much? Hey, listen, I know we can get caught up in the emotionalism of camp. Amen, amen, and amen. I've seen it. It's the reason why when I did the flagpole, I talked about finishing. I'm tired of kids going to camp and then 2 weeks later the FBI can't find them. I'm tired of that. By the way, I'm tired of adults doing that in form too. Do you want the rain? The rain of revival. If you want it, it's available. That's the great thing about God. If you really desire the rain, if you really desire His presence, if you really desire His power, He will give it to you. Five quick things. If you want the rain, if you want the rain of revival, a choice has to be made, number one. A choice has to be made. You got to want it more than anything else. You got to want God's blessing and presence more than anything else. More than the iPad. More than Facebook. Listen to me. More than youth group. If you really want God's presence more than the alarm clock. We used to have a professor that called us in Bible college the lovers of the covers. Amen? You know what it says in verse 21 of chapter 18? And Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow Him. But if Baal, then follow Him. No man can serve two masters, Jesus said. Joshua got to the end. He said, look, if you want to serve the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood, help yourself. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Choice to... By the way, I love it when Jesus said to His disciples after He gave that hard saying of he that doth not eat my flesh and drink of my blood hath no part in me. And He was talking about all, taking Christ all. And He said to His disciples, He said, will you also go away? Don't you love Peter? You know what Peter said? To whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. We have nobody else to go to. Hey, you know what happened to you guys this week? You realized that God was everything. And you know what? Now that you're home, He still is. He still is. And He still wants to be your everything. But you got to choose. You got to choose. A choice must be made. Number two, look at verse 18. We just read it. He said, and he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord and followed Baal. Jump down to verse 33 quickly. Here's Elijah. It says, and he put the wood in order and cut the bullock in pieces and laid him on the wood. I want you to notice there, not only a choice must be made, but sin must be mortified. You know what that means, young people? You're going to have to put down sin in your life if you want the rain of revival. Listen, God does not pour out the rain of revival on people that continually, habitually sin. I'm sorry. Listen, I know we all struggle. I know we all have besetting sins. Amen. But you're going to have to make that choice and you're going to have to decide, you know what, flesh, you're going to stop ruling me and I'm going to start ruling you because I want the rain. I want the rain of revival. I want that special time with God where I open my Bible and tears come to my eyes. How long has it been before camp before tears came to your eyes? Is it going to be till next camp before we have it again? Hey, folks, that just won't do. For us, too. For us, too. You say, Pastor, you know, I mean, I've got responsibilities. I've got a job. Listen, I know all that, but you can live and breathe in revival all your life if you want to. even at a factory, even in a cubicle, even in an office, wherever it is, God wants you to have revival wherever you are. In the simple Christian life, which is the best life, we can have revival. We can have the rain. We can have the rain. Sin must be mortified. If we're going to have rain, we're going to have to deal with our sin. By the way, God told us that in the formula verse for revival, 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Preacher, time to have a barrel burning with these guys. Time to have a barrel burning. Maybe it's time to burn some clothes that are too tight, ladies. Fellas, maybe it's time to put some CDs in the barrel and burn them up. And some DVDs. Things that are hindering you. A choice must be made. Sin must be mortified. I love this. Look at verse 30, 32. And I've just got to go quickly on these. It says, and Elijah said unto all the people, you remember this is after the false prophets of Baal made idiots of themselves. I don't usually say idiot in the pulpit, but there's been some other things said tonight. Amen. So, come near unto me, all the people came near unto him, and he repaired the altar that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built the altar in the name of the Lord. Hey, listen, if you're going to have the reign of revival, a choice has to be made. Sin has to be mortified. You know what else has to happen? The altar has to be mended. You know the reason why any of us get cold on the Lord is we don't have personal altar time with Him. When I say altar, that's your personal time with God. By the way, and here too. Every valuable spiritual decision I've ever made in my life, I've made at an altar. Every valuable spiritual... I know what we can say, we can convince ourselves we don't need to come. I'm telling you what, I'll tell you this, these kids need to see you occasionally at the altar. If I stop preaching the Word of God, then by all means, don't come. But if I keep preaching the Word of God and God speaks to your heart, make your way down there. The altar has to be mended. Hey, Bible time, young people. That's not just 15 minutes a day at camp. That's 15 minutes a day for the rest of your life or more. You're going to have, listen, that time, that altar time, that prayer time, that time alone with God... You know what happened? Elijah fixed the altar that was broken down. I want to tell you young people this. Fix the altar that was broken down before you left.
Yes.
Repair it. Repair it. Make him the prime part of your day. Make him the last thing. I remember we had a girl in our youth group. God bless her. She's getting married next year. Marissa and Don, Pastor Don are going out and I'm going out. She said to me one time, she said, Pastor Rich, I'm having horrible nightmares. Horrible nightmares. What should I do? I said, sweetheart, make sure the last thing you do before you go to bed is read the Psalms. And I said, repair the altar. Repair the altar. The altar has to be mended. Sin must be mortified. A choice must be made. I've got two more and I'll just fly through them. Faith must be manifested, young people. You know what happened here in chapter 17, or chapter 18, verse 1. God says to Elijah, go show thyself to Ahab. And you remember we read verse number 15. It says, Elijah said, as the Lord of hosts liveth before whom I stand, I will surely show myself unto him this day. And then in the passage we read in chapter 18, verse 41, it says, and Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there's a sound of abundance of rain. How do we manifest our faith, Pastor? How do we manifest our faith? We obey what God says. Obey what God says. If God says it, do it. Church, if God says it, do it. Now I'm going to remember that big amen on Saturday at 11 a.m. Because a lot of us have been talking about maybe witnessing one day, but one day never seems to come. Faith needs to be manifested. Faith without works is dead as a doornail. And I added the doornail. It's dead. You've got to make time to obey God. Some of us don't read our Bibles because we simply don't make time to obey God. Yeah. Listen, we got people in this room. Brother Sammons, I'm not puffing you up, but it has to be at work 3:30 in the morning and up reading his Bible. Amen. Amen. Faith must be manifested. Do what God said. Hey, this week you made a decision. You said, God spoke to my heart. Do what He said. Don't ever back down away from it. Lastly, verses 36 through 39 says, and it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that Thou art God in Israel, and that I am Thy servant, and that I have done all these things at Thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that Thou art the Lord God, and that Thou hast turned their heart back again. And then the fire fell from heaven. You say, what's the last thing, Pastor? The choice must be made, sin must be mortified, the altar must be mended, faith must be manifested, and God must be magnified. You know what Jesus said? If I be lifted up, I will draw all men to myself. You know what we try to do every week in this pulpit? Lift up Jesus. Hey, you blessed Sunday school teachers, I love you, I'm for you. I know what you do in that class, you lift up Jesus. Hey, we got junior church workers, you know what God wants you to do? Lift up Jesus. Hey, we got vacation Bible school people that are going to volunteer. You know what we need you to do? Just lift up Jesus. Uncle Joe, why do you paint your hair yellow or green or whatever it is for this year's colors? Amen. Why? I'll tell you why. Because He loves Jesus. Amen. Loves those kids. Hey, you know what? God needs to be magnified in our life. Hey, I hope you live to be a ripe old age of 85. Whatever, Miss Hazel. Amen. Amen. I didn't mean that the way it sounded. Amen. Miss Hazel, I was going to say I want you to live another 85 years, but you'll be... You know, you probably outlive Brother Jack by then. Amen. You know what I want? Your whole lives to be a testimony of magnifying God. Your whole lives. Not just this week. Not just this week. Your whole lives. That you could look back at this week and say, you know what? My life changed that week. A hinge changed. I put God in first place in my life and I've never been the same. And then you know what will happen? All your life, the rain will fall. That's what happened. After Elijah prayed down the fire, the rain fell. Why? Why? Because a choice had been made. Why? Because sin was mortified. Why? Because the altar was mended. Why? Because faith was manifested. And why? Because God was magnified. The rain of revival. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes.